Well, as I mentioned, it has been a long time since I've done this. And over the last several months, there is a radio talk show that I've been listening to, not every day, but it is on every day, but I don't listen to it every day. Listen to it when I can while I'm working. It's an interesting talk show in this format. It's not produced by a major network. It's a private news broadcast. It's available online through a few different sources. And it's what this gentleman does. I would call him an investigative journalist. He investigates the story behind the headlines. And what you hear on the major networks is only scratching the surface. So he goes in behind the scenes and he looks into these stories to find out how much we're being reported is actually truth and how much is not truth. Some people consider him to be a conspiracy theorist, which I guess on some issues maybe he is. I think that would be a inaccurate description of him, in that when he does report something, if he does report something, he's not speculating. He does his homework. He investigates it. He does his research. He's very well read. He's very intelligent. And then he reports it the way he sees it. And he certainly doesn't hold anything back. He doesn't put out any stops for his sponsors or anyone else. He simply speaks his mind. And his following is in the millions now and growing. Now, I'm not here to endorse this program, so I'm not even going to tell you the person's name because I don't think it's relevant. I'm merely bringing it up as a way of introducing something to you today. And as I said, some of the stories he discusses are controversial. Some of his opinions I am strongly opposed to. However, he does certainly have a knack for finding the story behind the headlines. And that's the part that I find interesting. That's why I listen to him. And as I said, he's on every day. I don't listen to it every day, but he is on every day for 3 hours. He's based in the deep south of the United States of America. As Matt called them, the great United States of America, as they once were, just as Great Britain was once great, but is no longer. But he's based in the deep south. He does have a religious influence. He does not speak of his religious beliefs, although it does come out in some of his reporting. Obviously quite different than something that we would hear or believe. But like I said, he is doing his best to report some gross injustices that he believes exist, which I believe exist not only in government, but in corporations, in corporate America, as well as around the world. So, why would I bring this up? You know, it's interesting listening to this fellow because he reports these stories, and he is I guess by his own definition, maybe many others too, he's a patriot of the United States. He believes in the Constitution, he believes in this country, and he's seeing it systematically destroyed by other people in his view. So he gets pretty angry. Sometimes he gets really fired up on some subjects, and in fact, at least once a program, sometimes more, he has to cut to commercial because he's so upset about the subject he's speaking of, he can't put his thoughts together, so he just cuts to commercial. Because he takes it very personally, because he believes in it. He believes in it, he's putting himself out there. I mean, he's on the air every single day, and he's putting himself out there because he believes in it, in what he's saying. He's not popular, certainly not popular for what he is saying, but as I said, he believes in it more than he believes in anything else. But there's a problem in the way that he reports, and the problem is not his fault, because we too should be watching the news, we should be reading the headlines, we should be looking behind the headlines, and I know Mr. Henderson puts a great deal of time into the news update and the news analysis that he does and posts them online for us to read, and he also ties it into what the church has published in the past through Mr. Armstrong, as well as the present. And it's a big job. So this particular person that I listen to online, he, like I said, he does a lot of research, but he has a big omission in his reporting, a grave error, and as I said, it's not his fault. And that problem is his perspective. One of the, I guess you could call it, conspiracies that he regularly comments on is a new world order that he sees that is being implemented systematically throughout governments around the world. And whether, like I said, I'm not going to either agree nor disagree. I'm merely using it as an introduction. But this new world order that he reports on, some interesting things that he brings to it. Now, he doesn't realize that he's right in the way that he is right. He may be right on a physical level, on a human level, but there is a new world order that's being prepared on the earth today. And as I said, he just is not clear on where that is or where it's coming from. The one he's referring to is a temporary one. We all know that it's headed by Satan the devil, and it's going to exist. It's going to exist in a terrible way on this earth for a terrible time, but it will be only a short time. So, his perspective is limited. He doesn't see the big picture. He believes in America. He believes that if he does his job thoroughly and effectively, that America can be saved and it can be restored to its, as Matt referred to earlier, to its once greatness. Of course, we know that's not the case. If you could turn with me as we begin to Luke chapter 21. It's a scripture you know well. You may not need to turn there. I'm going to turn there and just read it to you. It's Luke chapter 21. And it's verse 36. And we're going to see that he has half of the exercise down. The other half he's not doing. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Watch therefore, watching. That's exactly what he's doing. He's being what he describes himself as, a faithful steward of watching world events. And he is watching. He's great at it. Like I said, he dedicated his whole life to the cause, and he does that. But here's the other part that he's missing. And pray always that you may be counted worthy. Now, in the past, I've heard people say that this kind of runs together and say that you should be praying that you're counted worthy to escape. And that's not, of course, the case. What it means is to be watching and praying always. We shouldn't be praying that we're counted worthy. It's the praying itself that develops that relationship enables us, if we're diligent, to escape these things that we've all heard about for most of our lives, quite frankly, that are going to be fulfilled in this time that we are living. But we're not just told to watch. Watching the news today is very difficult. Many people, even in the world, are watching the news today. Like I said, he has a call-in portion on his show. A lot of people are concerned. His following is in the millions now. He started out a tiny little network on a tiny little station, and now he has millions and millions of followers. People call in every day. People are concerned. I talk to people, and I know you probably talk to people as well. People are concerned with despair, hopelessness, and depression is what they're seeing in the headlines. And in fact, some people that I know and have talked to in the past, they just refuse to watch the news because it's too depressing. So they bury their head in the sand and they hope that it all goes away. Of course, we know that it's not going to go away. Well, we know it's not going to short term, certainly is in the long term. But that's the subject I want to talk about today, is the perspective that we have. Because there is a lot of disturbing headlines. Even the major networks are starting to report problems that 10 years ago you couldn't even imagine happening in North America and all of the West, all of the Western world. You couldn't even imagine it. Yet here we are today, wondering when the last straw is going to break its back and the whole thing will crumble around us. Which, by the way, if you're watching the news, you probably realize that could happen today, could happen tomorrow, could happen at any time, because it's that bad. But without the knowledge of God's plan, reading the headlines will only create fear, anger, and despair. The plan of God must be firmly planted in our minds. And as I read here in Luke 21, verse 36, we should be watching, but as importantly, we should be praying always. Because without those two things connected, you could not possibly read today's headlines and not be affected in a negative way by them. You know, if you have a Bible software program, I do. I have a free one, and it's called eSword. I don't know if you've heard of it, but you can do various scripture searches within it, and I know there's a number of other programs that you can get. But if you have time, I would urge you to look up two words together, fear not. Just do a search on those two words, and then read all of the things that come up when you do that search. It's actually quite encouraging. And as I continue here, if you could turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Another scripture, of course, that everyone knows quite well, I'm sure. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Picking it up in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that relationship has to be developed through constant interaction, whether it be our studying or our praying. It has to be on a daily basis. And as I said before, otherwise, it's certainly easy to get caught up in a negative spirit. And one thing I know when I listen to this show, sometimes I just turn it off because it can quickly take a negative turn. And if you think about some of the things too much, you can get pretty fired up about it. So sometimes you just have to turn it off. But when you tie what you're watching in with praying always, it's certainly a very encouraging time that we live in, because quite frankly, it's now down to its final hours, so to speak. And we are going to behold, in our lifetimes, very likely. I'm convinced it's my lifetime. Absolutely convinced. It's a lot closer than most people think. However, we're that close. And as I said, if you grew up in the church as I did, and I know there's people even in this room that have certainly logged a lot more years than I have in the church, it's things that we've been hearing about for decades, literally for decades, are now unfolding before our very eyes as we read the newspaper and watch the headlines roll across the screen. It's absolutely incredible times that we live in. Okay, moving on, if you turn with me finally to Matthew chapter 6. One more thing I want to look at before I start wrapping it up. Matthew chapter 6. And again, this scripture you probably knew before you even were called into the church. Of course, the background on it is the disciples were asking Christ how they should pray, and he continues with the model prayer as we know it. If you grew up in the public schools, at least in this country, many years ago now, of course, it's been banned, but there was a time when we all had to recite this Lord's Prayer before we started our school day, and of course, it's one of the things that's been removed from the schools now because it's offensive to some. But picking up in verse 9, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, I don't know how many times as a child I would have recited this prayer in school. It would have been every day for 12 years or whatever a year in school. In grade school and high school. And, I never really thought much about any of this that we were reading. But when you look at that particular verse, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, we in the West have had a privilege and still do, of having a very abundant food supply. And the chances are that you probably don't wake up every day and wonder where your next meal is going to come from, at least in the Western world. I know there's parts in the world where people do wonder things like that, especially in recent months. But for us here in the West, we've had a fairly sheltered life from a lot of that. Well, I believe this verse and many others may take on a very new meaning for us as we continue through this time. And as I said earlier, and we read in the beginning, and I've immediately forgotten, in Luke 21 and verse 36, Luke 21 verse 36, where we read that we should be watching and we should be praying always. There could very well come a day where we have to pray this day for our daily bread. In the Western world, which is 10 years ago, people would have laughed me to scorn having said that. Now there's more people talking about that possibility than there are not talking about it. So certainly difficult times we're living in, and that And that relationship with our Father through prayer and through study is so critical now. That's the only way that we can maintain the proper perspective to get through these times. And of course, the headlines we read today, we've been imagining them for decades. It's just the beginning. I mean, it's just now unfolding. And if you're wondering in any way how this is all unfolding, how the whole plan fits, you really would be doing a good thing to go back and reread the United States and Great Britain in prophecy. Critical key. It's a critical key to understanding the headlines that we're reading today. And these things have been written 75 plus years ago, and here they are unfolding before our very eyes. It's critical that we understand who we are, where we are, and why we are. And not only that, but where it's all going. And that, of course, is the perspective that only the people that have the Spirit of God and a relationship with God the Father can understand. There is no other way. There is no other hope. There is no other way to counteract the despair that is starting to fill the earth from one corner of the globe right through to all the others. Without that hope, there is nothing left but despair. And that's, of course, the foundation that we must firmly plant our feet on. There is a plan for global government, as I mentioned in the beginning. And even today, some who may read our publishings or Mr. Armstrong's publishings, they may consider what we're saying to be a conspiracy. And if that's the case, then so be it. But we would do well to remember on a daily basis that, yes, there is a new world order coming to effect. All of the major players are very likely on the earth today for the unfolding of all of these events that we've been hearing about for, like I said, so many decades. Each player is very likely alive on this earth today and being prepared. And so should we be preparing. And as I said before, that preparation has to involve a daily dose of our studying and praying to our Father so that we can maintain a close relationship with Him. Because without that, like I said, there's nothing else. So yes, there is a new world order that's going to be instilled on this earth. It's not the one that people think it is, at least long term. Jesus Christ is going to once again stand on this earth, and the scepter of power will once again be returned and given to Him, and He will reign as King of Kings. And it is as sure as the setting sun. So if you're reading the headlines, it's well underway. If you're not seeing it in the headlines, it's just not being reported, and you probably need to look for it somewhere else. We're citizens of this new one world government. That's where our citizenship lies. It is in this current age that our eyes really need to be fixed on that goal and our feet firmly planted on the Word of God. And a daily prayer to God to maintain that relationship is the only way to maintain that perspective as we watch these events unfold. There's absolutely nothing in the news or behind the headlines that can possibly stop this ever-moving forward plan of God.